Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, we've been studying Psalm 8 as part of our Creation Prayers in the Bible series. And although you've covered the psalm from the perspective of its being a prayer to the Creator, there was something else you wanted to bring out from Psalm 8.
Yes, this is a great creation psalm. It's also a song. And as a psalm addressed directly to the Lord as Creator, it is also a prayer. But something that David says in this psalm also makes, or I guess I should say made, it a scientific revelation.
Scientific revelation. That's different. You're not referring to the statement David makes about God making the moon and stars with his fingers, are you? I mean, it's a beautiful description and impressive reflection of the power of the Creator, but you might get an argument from some as to its scientific value.
Well, I agree, Scott. The Lord making the moon and stars with his fingers is much more of a theological statement than a scientific one. But that wasn't the statement in Psalm 8 that I was referring to as being a scientific revelation anyway. The statement David makes is in the section of the psalm where he is describing all the creatures God gave to man to rule over, which is in verses 6 through 8. So let's read them. Verse 6, "Thou dost make him to rule over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet.
All sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field.
The birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas." So, what in those verses that we read do you think could fall under the realm of something scientific?
Well, would it be the idea that there are paths in the seas? In other words, currents?
That's it. The idea that there are paths in the seas. Now, that would be a very easy statement to pass right over, and perhaps just consider it a metaphor. However, a man back in the 1800s took the phrase to mean there were literally paths, or as you pointed out, Scott, currents, moving walkways.
Or more accurately, swimways.
Right, swimways. They wouldn't be moving walkways. You know, David wrote way before Jesus and Peter walked on the water.
True.
So anyway, the man's name was Matthew Fontaine Maury. And he interpreted that seemingly insignificant phrase to mean there apparently were currents in the seas.
Okay, Dr. Scripture, so Murray interpreted that phrase in Psalm 8 to mean there were currents in the oceans, but why would that represent, as you put it, a scientific revelation? Wouldn't it have been common knowledge, at least among those who navigated the seas, that there were currents they could use as they sailed the seas?
Well, that's a good question, Scott. And although I can't give a definitive answer about what they may or may not have known around 1000 BC, which is when David was king thereabouts, we do know that in the 1800s, the existence of currents in the world's oceans was not understood. So the discovery of such currents would have a huge impact on navigation at that time, whether we're talking about getting from one place to another quicker or, even more importantly, the safety on the oceans. Now, I could describe the situation of Matthew Maury at that time and what he did, but the Institute for Creation Research, that's ICR, has published an excellent article on this subject. And so what I'm going to do is read what it says about Maury and what he did. The periodical ICR publishes is called Acts and Facts, and we've referred to that excellent publication many a time.
Yeah, ICR is the Morrises.
Right, exactly. Okay. And within that journal of Acts and Facts, they put in a short article called Impact. And the impact article I'm going to read from is number 219, and it was published quite a while ago, 1991. But even though it was published a long time ago, anyone can find it on ICR's website. That is icr.org. And you just use the search engine on that page to look up Impact number 219.
And we'll have that information again if anyone wants to write it down.
Okay, sure, that's a good idea. So I'm reading from the article, and the title is Psalm 8 Inspires a Scientific Research Project. Matthew Maury undertook a research project based on Scripture, and once again confirmed the scientific accuracy of the Bible. Murray was in charge of the depot of charts and instruments in the Hydrographic Office of the United States Navy from 1841 to 1861. He was a Christian who loved and respected the Word of God. So one day, in the 8th Psalm, he read the following words: "Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas." Being one who is familiar with some of the problems that beset the sailing industry of that day, Maury immediately recognized the significance of verse 8. That verse tells us that, among other things, God has given man dominion over the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. The Bible says there are paths in the sea, Murray thought. And if the Bible says it, I believe it. He was also aware of Ecclesiastes 1:6, which states, quote, "The wind goes toward the south and turns about unto the north. It whirls about continually, and the wind returns again according to its circuits." So Maury, based on the basis of the Bible, concluded that there are well-established wind circuits and that there are literally paths in the sea, that is, definite currents in the ocean. He reasoned that if these wind currents and ocean currents could be located and plotted, this information would be of great value to marine navigators. Utilizing this information, the sailing vessels could be directed along routes that would take advantage of these sea and air currents, reducing by many days the time required to traverse the seas. Murray spent hour after hour searching through dusty old logs and charts. By the way, let me insert there, that's what he was taking care of there in that hydrographic office of charts. So he had access to all these things, something that no one else probably would have even have known about, but he knew about them.
So isn't it fortunate that this person in particular happened to be looking at that verse of scripture and
Absolutely.
Put two and two together.
And figured out a way that he could actually search out that information. Maury set about to verify this biblical statement, and he found and plotted the wind currents and the ocean currents. The ocean currents include, for example, the Great Gulf Current, a path in the sea, 40 miles wide and 2,000 feet deep, flowing from the Gulf of Mexico up through the Atlantic. Other paths of the seas are the California and the Japanese currents. So let me stop there a moment and mention, you know, how is it that he could have just taken charts and logs that captains would have submitted to this depot?
That's what I'm wondering.
How could he figure out where these currents were? Well, think about it. The captains would have been keeping track of all the adjustments that they were making as they were sailing along, yet not putting two and two together. Just one captain after another, say, for example, sailing up from Savannah to Baltimore.
So if you look at multiple captains traveling the same route, you can kind of find patterns that way.
Exactly. And so they're making all these path adjustments, these course adjustments, and they're logging it, but not recognizing exactly what's going on. Well, Maury puts one after another together. He probably was charting on a great big map all these course adjustments, one after another, and noticing that every one of these guys keep having to make this adjustment to keep over towards the coast or whatever. And ultimately, what he was able to do was show that this current was forcing these adjustments for them to be able to keep on course. And he did that with all the logs that were submitted by the captains that were traveling all around the world, whether it was the Pacific, the Atlantic, or even the Gulf of Mexico. And by putting that all together, he was able, without being on the ocean, to discover all of these currents. And so as a result of this, Maury literally changed the economics. He changed the world's seafaring navigation, and we owe him a great debt of gratitude. So Maury's native state, the state of Virginia, has acknowledged the great debt navigation owes him, having erected monuments to his memory. On these monuments may be found a plaque that reads as follows: Matthew Fontaine Maury, Pathfinder of the Seas, the genius who first snatched from the ocean and atmosphere the secret of their laws. His inspiration? Holy Writ, Psalm 8:8, Psalm 107:23 and 24, and Ecclesiastes 1:6. Was Matthew Maury really a genius, Or was he simply one who trusted the Bible as the inerrant word of God? Well, let me stop there and say, I'd say he was both.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether he was a genius or not, it was not his genius, but his faith in the Bible that directed his efforts into a scientific research project, the results of which fully vindicated that faith. There are numerous other instances in which scientific discoveries have been foreshadowed by biblical statements. Thus, what I was saying, Scott, this Psalm 8 gave us a scientific revelation. So, the Bible may not be a book of science, but in all instances where scientifically testable statements are found in the Bible, they have proven to be scientifically accurate.
Well, Dr. Scripture, as we promised, will you give that reference, that article reference again?
Yeah, sure.
But I also have a question.
Okay. Well, the way to find the article is to go onto the icr.org website and using the search engine, look up Impact Article number 219. And what is your question, Scott? We do have another minute or so.
Okay. The article mentioned other scientific discoveries or scientifically measurable statements made in the Bible. What were they?
Well, there's a bunch, and we're not going to have time to go into a lot of detail, but I'll tell you the first verse of the Bible is one of them. What does the first verse of the Bible indicate? That God created out of nothing. That Hebrew term is sort of out of nothing, that he created the heavens and the earth. And that wasn't really discovered for certain until 1929. Mm. And so there is a statement by the Bible that was scientifically verifiable when Hubble, with his radio telescope, was able to show that the universe was expanding. And we've had a program on that before.
We have.
Einstein didn't like that idea. He didn't like the idea that the universe actually had an origin. But by demonstrating that to be true, it was also demonstrated then that that biblical statement was quite scientifically accurate. Another example would be the existence of dinosaurs. You know, up until about 150 years ago or so, I mean, the idea of giant lizards, and I use that term loosely, you know, wasn't known. There was the legends of dragons, but giant lizards, you know, dinosaurs as they are now named.
But Job knew about a few of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in Job chapter 40 and Job chapter 41, we have descriptions of dinosaurs that probably seemed like completely mythological creatures up until the point that, wow, look at these bones of these giant lizards. There's just a couple, Scott, and there are many, many more. But what this tells us is that the Bible is full of information still to be discovered, I'm sure, that we could actually scientifically verify. Although ultimately, it's not about prove it to me before I'll believe it. It requires faith. And that concept is precisely what Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 tell us to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.